It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hello, ladies. This is Kathleen.
Hey, ladies. This is Jean, and we are in the studio again with our lady. She's here.
She is here.
She's awesome. But Kathleen and I are here with our beautiful guest, Anne Wojcik. And Anne Wojcik was born in Medjugorje, and she was the first American there because she moved to Chicago, but the first American when Mary started appearing back in 1981 to hear the messages. I think it was on day four. But I just want to say, ladies, this is the second show of two, and you can go back and watch our first show on Joyful Echo Facebook page. Or you can tune into our Instagram, Joyful Echo, and you'll find out more about our previous show. It's so good. It's so good. So we're going to dive right into Anne because there's so much to talk about.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, thanks, Jean. Thanks, Kathleen. It's great to be with you guys again. Medjugorje is a place that totally and completely changed my life. As you mentioned, I was not born directly in Medjugorje, but I was born in a village a couple of miles from Medjugorje, but my family moved to the United States when I was 2 years old, and I basically lived in Chicago ever since then. But the summer of 1981, so the apparitions of Our Lady began June 24th, 1981. That summer, 2 weeks before the apparitions began, I was 15 years old. That gives you an idea of how old I am now. I was 15 at the time, and my parents wanted us to go back to visit our family. My dad's whole side of the family still lived and lives still in the region. And so my parents wanted all them and the five kids to go back and spend the summer there. And the plan was to be there from the beginning of June 1981 to the end of August 1981. So 2.5 months, basically, that summer. And, you know, who knew when we left on that summer vacation, who knew that world-changing events were going to happen very shortly in a village just a few miles away.
Yes.
I want to paint a picture of who I was when I heard about the apparitions. I had been bullied in school prior to that for 4 years. Prior to that, that bullying left a lot of deep wounds, a lot of scars in my heart. It left me very angry. Mm. It left me starting to seek a negative path in life and getting into destructive behaviors. I basically kind of didn't understand why God would allow 10, 12, 13, 14, those are the ages that when that happened to me, a kid that age to go through what I went through at school. And so I basically came to the point that I actually didn't believe in God. I'm like, even though I was born and raised in a loving Catholic family, and actually my uncle was our pastor for many years at our Catholic church, at our Croatian Catholic church in Chicago. But I was so angry, and I basically claimed to be an atheist because of the wounds of my heart, because of the pain that I went through.
And did your summer parents know that?
Yep.
Oh, what a heartbreak.
I hid it. I thought something was fundamentally wrong with me because I thought that, well, the kids at school must see something that I don't see. So I thought there was something fundamentally wrong with me, and I was afraid of my family finding that out. So I hid it all from them. They didn't know any of it. And so the summer of 1981, we go there on family vacation. June 27th, apparitions began June 24th. I heard about the apparitions 4 days later on June 27th. And the second that those words hit my ears, and I mean literally the second that I heard the words, Our Lady has appeared over in Medjugorje, my life changed.
Wow.
My life instantly, completely, dramatically, forever changed. It's the reason why I'm sitting here on the radio with you guys today. It's the reason that I do what I do, because I saw the transformative power of God, what God can do in an instant if we allow him in. And so I as a 15-year-old kid who'd never really explored the spiritual life at all, I didn't understand what was happening to me at the time. I just knew that all of the pain, all of the anger, all of the everything that had been within me, it all just kind of melted away. And I was overwhelmed, I didn't know what it was at the time. Today, as an adult who's walked with the Lord for 40-plus years, I understand what happened to me then. And it was the Lord flooded my heart with his presence. I didn't know what it was. All I knew was that it felt like my heart literally was expanding beyond the capacity of my chest to contain it. Like, that's what it felt like. Mm. And that day, the fourth day of the apparitions, when my dad and my sister and I went shopping, and my dad had run into a cousin of his who had heard the news about what happened in Medjugorje and shared it with us. When we got home from shopping that day, and my dad told my mom about these reports of apparitions happening in Medjugorje, my parents decided to go to Medjugorje themselves. I begged them to take me with them, which is funny because, you know, years before that, every Sunday, I would beg them to not go to church.
Right.
And now I was begging them to go to church. But my parents went there that fourth day of the apparition. And let me just put this in context. This was a little rural village in the middle of nowhere where very few people had telephones. There were maybe one or two people in the area that had cars. There was, obviously, this is long before the time of, you know, mass communication and social media and all of that stuff.
And it was still under communist control,
and
right?
And it was still under communist control. And yet, 4 days later, according to the witness of my parents and many, many, many people that were there that day, thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands, upwards of 6,000-7,000 people were already at the base of that hill because of the reports of the apparitions of the Blessed Mother. And if you think about that, you know, if today, with the mass media availability that we have, if I said today, you know, if I made an announcement about an event taking place 4 days from now, you know, maybe 100 people would show up, maybe 5 people would show up. But 4 days later, in a time and a place where there was no way of easily conveying information, thousands were already there. And, wow. And I like to say it was like the Holy Spirit carried that message of the apparitions on the wind through the highways and the byways and the countryside, and people just flooded there. I spent the rest of that summer going to Medjugorje every chance that I could. I witnessed the beginnings of these events. I witnessed some just unbelievable things that summer that it just sealed forever my life and the new trajectory of my life. And, you know, as I said in the last episode, when you encounter something, or I should say when you encounter someone, that someone, of course, being the Lord, you are forever changed. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be silent about it. And when I came home from Medjugorje that summer, I fundamentally knew, I didn't understand how that would play out in my life, but I knew this was going to be something I needed to pursue the rest of my life, this God that I had encountered that summer. And not just pursue him personally, but I needed to give my life to helping other people encounter what I had encountered. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing. You know, the last 25 years of my life have been full-time ministry, basically helping people to understand what heaven is doing through Medjugorje and the way that God is touching people's lives there. And it's the greatest joy of my life to be able to do that.
Well, let's go into that. What is heaven doing through Medjugorje for all the people?
Oh, my gosh. Heaven, you know, it sounds like a dramatic thing to say, and it is, but I also say it knowing how the fruits, we talked about the fruits last time, how the fruits are affecting the world in ways that people may not be aware. So last time we talked about all of the priests that have come out of Medjugorje. And I wanted to mention this last time, and I didn't get around to it. There was so much to talk about. But you know, we talked last time about how there were probably between 1,000 to 2,000, possibly even more, men who received their vocation to the priesthood in Medjugorje. Those guys are in their parishes, in their home countries, bringing the powerful message of the gospel. And, you know, all priests certainly do that, right? But, you know, I think you'd have to be blind to not see things like what's happening in the German Bishops' Conference today, where they're trying to bring in things into the church that are contrary to church teachings, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not happening with these guys who are finding their vocations in Medjugorje. And here's just one example. The Cardinal of Vienna, Austria. His name is Christoph Schönborn. He's one of the writers of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He has publicly stated that were it not for Medjugorje, his seminary would be empty.
Wow, that's a statement.
Think about that.
That's a statement.
That's a statement. The Cardinal of Vienna, Austria, is saying that, basically, effectively, what he's saying is that his entire diocese, which probably is the bulk of Austria, right, is being formed and shaped by men who have been formed and shaped in the heart of our Blessed Mother in Medjugorje. And to me, that's staggering. And that's happening all over the world. And let me just give you another example. There's really so many things that you can say about this. But in 1981, when the apparitions began, it was a time, it was right after the Second Vatican Council, right? And there was a lot of shifts that were happening, not because of that. That wasn't the goal of the Vatican Council, but it was the direction that some people wanted to take the church. So, for example, there was a decrease in popular devotions like mm-hmm. the rosary and mm-hmm. adoration and novenas and processions. A lot of that stuff that was very present in the church and then, you know, prior to the 1960s kind of diminished. Well, what happened in Medjugorje? Part of it was obviously John Paul II, who placed such an emphasis on renewal of things like adoration. But what was one of the things that happened in Medjugorje? Our Lady directed through the visionaries, directed the priests on what she wanted pilgrims to experience in Medjugorje. And one of the things she told the visionaries to tell the priests is, have the people adore my son in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Have the people adore my son in the Eucharist. And so 50 million people who've traveled to Medjugorje, by and large, the majority of them, I've heard this so many times, say that one of the highlights of their pilgrimage to Medjugorje is the adoration, the time of adoration that they've experienced there. And one of the fruits of that, which is just stunning to me, is a friend of mine is a priest. He's actually the chaplain for English-speaking pilgrims in Medjugorje. But he's originally from Singapore. And he said that one married couple in Singapore in the 1980s started bringing pilgrims to Medjugorje because they were so on fire. And they kept bringing more and more and more pilgrims from Singapore. And those pilgrims were experiencing the power of adoration in Medjugorje. And they were going home to their diocese and saying, can we have adoration here? And Father Leon, this mm-hmm. chaplain to the English-speaking pilgrims in Medjugorje, has said that directly because of the apparitions of Medjugorje, because so many Singaporeans were coming to Medjugorje and being touched by adoration, eventually, within a couple of years, every single parish in the Diocese of Singapore had perpetual adoration as a direct fruit of Medjugorje.
That's a big fruit, Anne. That's a watermelon.
And that's happening all over the world. There's so much to say about it, and can't go into all of it today, but that's just one example of the renewal that is happening in the church through Medjugorje.
Yes, and we're getting ready to go to break here in just a minute, but before we do, could you just speak for a minute about this new project that we have heard about that might be coming to theaters across the United States?
Yes, I'm so excited about this. Thank you for asking about it. I was contacted several months ago by a team of producers in Hollywood who are deeply, passionately faithful Catholics who love Our Lady. And one of them was the producer on the movie, she was the executive producer on the movie Fatima that just came out 2 years ago. And another one is actually a big-time Hollywood producer, kind of one of those. He's not a Steven Spielberg, but kind of along those lines. They intend to make a movie about Medjugorje, and they asked me to join the project. Initially, I was asked to be the consultant. Somehow or another, I've now become an executive producer. When they asked me to be the executive producer, I laughed and said, can I really be an executive producer if I don't know what that means?
Yes.
How does that work?
That is how God works.
All things are possible with God. So mm-hmm. we are working on this project. We're so excited about it. It's at the infancy stage, but we've gotten all the approvals from all of the church officials in Medjugorje. They're so excited about it. And I actually would love to direct people. The movie, the working title of the movie right now is Between the Mountains. Because that's what the word Medjugorje means. Medjugorje in Croatian means between the mountains. So the movie is called Between the Mountains. If people go to YouTube, they will see our YouTube channel. Literally just went live yesterday.
Woo! So
we are literally in the infancy stages. But if you go to YouTube and look for Between the Mountains movie, you will find our page and you'll be able to learn more about it there.
Wonderful. And you may want to do that during the break because we're taking a break. We'll be back with more Joyful Echo.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back to Joyful Echo. This is the second part of our episode interviewing Anne Buchik. We had the pleasure of hearing about how the Lord worked powerfully and in such a healing way in Anne's life through the apparitions in Medjugorje, and then how the fruits of Medjugorje really brought about through the sacramental life of the church, the exposure for people to our Eucharistic Lord and the opportunity to adore him in the Eucharist, how that has spread all over the world and mentioned Singapore in particular, but it's not confined just to Singapore. And then we were talking about a new movie that is in the works, Between the Mountains, the movie. And so now we're going to shift gears a little bit and get to kind of what's the heart of Our Lady's message here in Medjugorje.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jean. Thanks, Kathleen. So, you know, when you look at what is Our Lady asking for, it sounds funny to say this, but she's not asking for anything different than what she always wants, and that is she wants people to come to her son. She wants people to know her son. And we in the Catholic Church have such an incredible gift because we can know him directly, personally. He and his true presence in the Eucharist, and his true in his presence in the sacramental life of the Church. And so, what she wants, what, the heart of what she wants, is for us to have an encounter with her Son that is transformative, that is life-giving, that is light-bringing, that brings light into the darkness. And that is her fundamental desire. The way that she wants us, the way that she's leading us to do that through the example of what's happening in Medjugorje and really in churches all over the world, is open your hearts to his presence in the sacramental life of the Church. Mm. That's what she wants. But she also, you know, she also, there's in Medjugorje this term that people often use, and that is the five stones of Medjugorje. And sometimes people think that that was actually a term that Our Lady used, that she, where Our Lady said, oh, live the five stones of Medjugorje, and it's actually not the way it happened. But one of the priests in Medjugorje many years ago looked at all of the messages of Our Lady, everything that she said over the years, and he said, you know, we can summarize everything that she has said to us into five main points. And he said, if we live these five points, those five points, if you look at the story of David and Goliath in the Bible, you know, David, with these five little stones, was able to beat the giant Goliath, right? This priest said, if we fully embrace these five stones, we can beat any Goliath in our lives, whether it's, you know, broken marriages, whether it's addiction, whether it's, you know, suffering of any kind. If we live these five stones fully in our hearts, we can conquer anything. In fact, Our Lady has said, with prayer and fasting, you can even stop wars and natural disasters. So what are these five stones? And, you know, we don't, unfortunately, we don't have the time to go into them in depth, but I do want to just say what they are so that our listeners can hear it, at least have an idea. So the first stone, and what is it that Our Lady says is so fundamental? Prayer of the heart. And when she says prayer of the heart, that's always listed as the first one because, yes, prayer, yes, it's so important to have our hearts fully engaged when we enter into prayer, but it's also when we enter into anything in terms of the sacramental life of the Church, if our hearts are not engaged, yeah, that sacrament, that grace is still available, but it's diminished in its power to affect us if our hearts are not engaged. So we always begin by talking about prayer of the heart, the importance of openness of heart in everything we do related to our life of grace, our life of the Lord. So the first stone, prayer of the heart. The second stone, Holy Mass. So fundamental. And I love, by the way, in Medjugorje, Our Lady always says, and in Croatian we always say, the Holy Mass. It's not just the Mass, it's mm-hmm. the Holy Mass. It is the most sacred thing that can happen on earth is participating in the Holy Mass. And that, you know, we know from the teachings of our Church, that is the source and summit of our faith, and that is the fundamental thing that Our Lady is pointing us to. And of course, going back to the first stone, if we are engaged in each Holy Mass from a position of openness of heart, that is transformative for us. So prayer of the heart, number one, Holy Mass, number two. Number three, Our Lady calls us to monthly confession. She tells us that confession is a remedy for the soul. She has said that if people understood the power of confession, that lives would be transformed. And so she calls us to monthly confession, to go to that fountain of grace that St. Faustina spoke about, and as Jesus spoke to her about in the Divine Mercy Revelation, that it is a fountain of grace that is transformative for us. So prayer of the heart, Holy Mass, monthly confession, sacred scripture is the fourth stone. That scripture that Christ speaks to us, the Lord speaks to us, he's alive in the Holy Bible. He's alive in scripture. Our Lady said to us in Medjugorje, don't let the Holy Bible stand in your family home just to have dust gather upon it, but open the Word of God and read it and live it. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one is fasting. She calls us to fasting on bread and water on Wednesdays and Fridays, and has said to us through prayer and fasting, as I said a minute ago, even wars and natural disasters can be averted. If we live these five stones, we have no concept of what can happen in our lives and how God's grace, how our hearts become so open to receiving the grace of God in our lives. That's what Our Lady wants. She wants us to have openness of heart through these five stones so that our hearts can be transformed, so that we can encounter her son.
And I also, Anne, like, she gives a message for the world on the 25th of every month. And that's my, you know, between Faustina's diary, the scriptures, I practice these five stones because I was in Medjugorje and I started immediately. But her message every month, that is the message that I listen to for guidance. And she's very gentle, very gentle.
Yeah. And people can find that message if they want to see what is it that Our Lady's saying. All you have to do is just type in Medjugorje messages. Or she gives the message every 25th of the month, so June 25th, July 25th, and so on. You can type in Our Lady's monthly message, Medjugorje, or something like that if you want to see it. And by the way, if any of your listeners don't know a lot about Medjugorje and would like to learn more, I would like to direct them to a website where they can go just to get more information, if that's okay.
Please.
And that website is tectonministries.org. That's T as in Tom, E-K-T-O-N, ministries.org. And there's a whole section on there about Medjugorje. You can find out all kinds of things. You can see some videos that will give you a lot of information about Medjugorje.
And ladies, I would recommend that website because you want something that is authentically true. With the message, sometimes messages are put out there that Blessed Mother hasn't said and spoken about.
Yes.
So I just want to forewarn you on that one. So tectonministries.org is a very good source you can rely on for the truth that's coming out about Medjugorje. And she did speak in January that she really is asking us to renew our devotion to prayer, the Holy Rosary, and fasting to really change the outcome of the world. We have that ability working with the Holy Spirit. It's a very honorable, I don't know words to explain.
It's a privilege that the God of the universe would ask for our cooperation. I mean, to even say it sounds so
right.
You know, such hubris, but
it's
we
true.
Right, exactly. We couldn't give that task to ourselves without it just seeming cosmically ridiculous. But we have to accept that in His will, He has decided that this is how He would like it to be. He would like to cooperate with His creation, that He would elevate. I mean, Scripture says, right? Who is man that God should care for him? So we are as audacious as our Lord commands us to be.
Right.
And Our Lady often in Medjugorje says that there is a plan that God has for the world that is being revealed through Medjugorje, and that each and every one of us, she has said this numerous times, that each and every one of us has a role to play in that plan of the Lord's that is being revealed through Medjugorje. So absolutely, we're like grains of sand on the beach, right? We feel insignificant, but each grain of sand is known by God and loved by God and important in the plan of God.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think we lose sight of that, but it's so true what you just said.
Well, and let's take that to prayer now. Let's let that guide our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are your little grains of sand, the three of us together, and we're just bringing all of our listeners together, and we're making a beautiful beach right now for you, Lord. We just are.
Amen.
And we just want to bring the world to you, Lord, and ask for your saving grace to fall upon our world right now, that peace will permeate, your divine peace will permeate each heart, and there will be conversion after conversion right now, Lord, upon the earth. That those that are the most hardened hearts will become softer by hearing the messages of Our Lady, that they will turn their ways around and realize there is mercy in the Lord for them. They can begin again, brand new. We ask for this grace. We ask for this grace, Lord.
And Lord, we also ask for the grace of courage and boldness in being witnesses of this gospel message, Lord, because we know your desire is to renew the face of the earth, to bring healing and salvation to every soul on this earth. And so, Lord, I just ask that you inspire us, that you fill us with your Spirit. that we may be bold and open-hearted and passionate ministers, evangelists of this gospel message, so that hearts may be touched, Lord, through your power speaking and working through each and every one of us, whatever our call in life is. And Lord, I just ask that you fill us with the spirit of your love, so that whatever it is that we do, that we may do it in your love, that we may do it, and that people may recognize your face in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your holy name.
Amen.
Yes, Father, we are journeying to you. We are coming home, and we are doing what we can to cooperate with your grace, to bring our brothers and sisters with us. We do claim that mission that we share, mm-hmm. the mission of our Lord, that none would be lost. We ask, Father, that in our lives, in whatever way that you have ordained for us, that we could bring others with us home to you. Give us that courage, Lord. Give us the courage to hope for something different than what we are living right now, mm-hmm. because we know that there's always more. We don't have to be fallen away Catholics, Lord. We know for us to know that there's more, for us to know that we are still called to repentance. We are still called to ongoing conversion. So, Father, ignite that hope in our heart that there's more out there for us, and that you are making a way for us to reach that more and share it with others, all for your glory.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I couldn't help but, when you were praying, Kathleen, what came over me was Isaiah 43 again. I am doing something new, the Lord says. Can you not perceive it?
Yes.
He is doing something new.
And love that.
Isn't that fantastic? And he's doing it through Medjugorje. He is doing something new. Can you not perceive it?
Yes, he has something new for you, ladies. I don't know, but there's someone probably out there thinking, oh, that's not me.
It is.
Other people. Honey, let me tell you, it's you. It's you. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Anne. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing about your life, for sharing your heart for our Lord, and your heart for Medjugorje, and also the places where people can go to find accurate information, including the tectonministries.org for that website. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. And I want to thank you guys, Jean and Kathleen, and for the ministry that you do, for your yes with this show, and for all that you do. And Jean, congratulations on the little grandbaby, and I wish you lots and lots of joy with that little guy.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's a little love already.
All right, ladies, next week, join us for a new Joyful Echo Wednesday at 5:00.
See you then. Thanks, ladies.